Welcome to the Worship in the Word podcast with Pastor Robert Morris. We are in a series called The Blessed Life, where Pastor Robert shares how generosity is the key to being truly blessed. Today's message is about giving God the first of our lives. But before we get started, we have a special limited offer available to our valued listeners this week. To find out more, visit us at PastorRobert.com or give us a call at 833-933-9673. We would love to hear from you. Now, let's join Pastor Robert.
The title of the message is The Principle of the First. The Principle of the First. And it runs all through Scripture. We're even going to go back to the Garden of Eden. So it's all through Scripture, all right? So here's the first principle. I'm going to show you some illustrations of the principle of the first. Three illustrations by my points. And let me say this also. If God is first in your life, everything in your life will come into order. Everything. That doesn't mean you won't have tribulation, because Jesus said in this world you'll have tribulation. But then he said, but be excited about it, or be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. It's okay. I've already taken care of this for you. But you will have tribulation. So I'm not saying you'll never go through a difficulty. I'm not saying that. But if God is not first in your life, then nothing will come into order in your life. And wouldn't you rather go through the tribulation that we're all going to go through, as far as trials and difficulties and all the things we go through, wouldn't you rather go through any difficulty with God being first in your life and everything in order in your life? So the only way to have everything in order is to have God first. So I want to show you three principles of the principle of the first, all right? So here's the first one, the principle of the firstborn. So this is a scripture from the Old Testament, but let me remind you that 1 Corinthians 10 says that everything that's written in the Old Testament was written for our instruction. So we need to learn from this. So some of this that I'm about to read you, you're going to think, it talks about a donkey and a lamb. And I don't know how many of you own a donkey and a lamb, okay? But there's a principle behind why God said it. And that's what we want to find out. So Exodus chapter 13, verse 1, then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, consecrate. Now, here, the word consecrate simply means set apart or set aside to me all the firstborn. Whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, remember Romans 11 says we've been grafted in to the nation of Israel, if you believe in Jesus, all right? Whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both the man and beast, now watch these three words, it is mine. In other words, set it aside, because it belongs to me. So there's a principle here, and that's what I'm trying to get us to understand. Verse 12, you shall set apart to the Lord, set apart, same thing as consecrate, to the Lord all that open the womb. That is every firstborn, this is the principle of the firstborn, that comes from an animal which you have, the males shall be the Lord's, in other words, shall belong to God. But every firstborn of a donkey, and I'll explain all this in a moment, you shall redeem, that means buy it back so you can use it, with a lamb. And if you will not redeem it, now watch this, then you shall break its neck. Now, I need to just mention here just for a moment this principle. This principle applies to tithing. And what he's saying is the first 10%, we're going to get to this, is set aside or set apart for me. But if you won't return it to the house of God, you're going to lose it anyway. So you can bring it to the house of God and the 90% can be blessed, or you can keep it in your bank account and it'll still go out of your bank account when your washing machine breaks or your car breaks. Or you lose your job. Please hear me. This is important. Wouldn't you rather return the first 10% to God and have all of your finances blessed, or lose it anyway and have all of your finances cursed? I mean, you'd rather be blessed. There you go. You answer. I asked the question. You answered it. Thank you very much. I'd rather be blessed. I mean, it's a pretty simple question, isn't it? All right. You shall set apart. And then he says, and if you don't set it apart, you don't redeem it, you shall break its neck. In other words, you're going to lose it anyway. And all the firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. Okay. So here's what he's saying. There are two classifications of animals that he uses here. He uses a donkey and a lamb. A donkey represents unclean animals, and a lamb represents clean animals. Now, this was written 3,500 years ago. What in the world does that have to do with you if you're an accountant or a lawyer or in the medical profession or the education profession? Maybe you're a teacher. What does a donkey and a lamb have to do with you today? It's the principle behind it. And can I tell you, this principle is actually talking about, you ready for this? Jesus. That's how important what I just read you was. Let me explain it to you. If you have an unclean animal, it has to be redeemed with the sacrifice of a clean animal. And a clean firstborn, and remember Jesus is called the firstborn, has to be sacrificed. So a clean has to be sacrificed, but the unclean has to be redeemed with the sacrifice of the clean. Okay, so let's just for a moment, let's figure out, were you and I born, spiritually speaking now, clean or unclean? Unclean, because we were born with a sin nature. Was Jesus born unclean or clean? Are you okay? You ready for this? And you better get excited over this, or I'll get very upset with you. I might even cry, so you better get excited. Listen, this is what we just read. The clean had to be sacrificed so that the unclean could be redeemed. That's what we just read. The first one redeems the rest. Here's the thing that you have to understand. He didn't say, wait until you have 10 lambs and then give me one, and you can give me the one that you don't like that keeps getting in your garden every day. He said, give me the first one when you don't have the other nine. See, here's what this is the principle of faith, because you have to give the first one before you have the other nine. Do you realize what tithing is? You don't pay all your bills and then tithe. You tithe first and then you pay your bills, because it's faith. Here's the second principle, the principle of the first fruits. So there's a principle, the firstborn belongs to God. We're going to get to tithing in a minute. The principle of the first fruits, Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Look at this. Honor the Lord with your possessions. Have you ever seen that scripture? So how can you honor God with your car? It's really simple. Give him the first 10% of your income and then buy a car that you can afford. How do you honor the Lord with your house? Give him the first 10% of your income. And then, here's what's amazing. I hear testimonies all the time. We had this house, and we went to buy it, and they lowered it $25,000. We went to buy a car, and they lowered the price. Or said, you can't believe what God does for tithers. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. Now, he's speaking to farmers here. So you could insert the word income where it says increase, okay? And you can tell he's speaking to farmers because watch. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Look at this, Exodus 23, 19. The first of the first fruits. He wants you to really understand what the word first means. The first of your first fruits of your land, you shall bring, notice the word bring, into the house of the Lord your God. Did you see the word bring? Okay. Do you know why he uses the word bring when he talks about tithing? He never uses the word give when he talks about tithing. He always uses the word bring. Here's the reason. You can't give what doesn't belong to you. You can only bring it to the house of God, or you can steal it. That's your only choice. When I was in Bible college, one of the students asked one of the professors, why did God accept Abel's offering and he didn't accept Cain's offering? Isn't that a great question? And the professor, he was wonderful. He said, you know, I really don't know. I've never gotten any revelation on that passage. And then years later, God showed me, and this has been like this has been my life message about the first, the principle of the first. And God showed me the principle of the firstborn and the principle of the first fruits. Now I want to read you the story of Cain and Abel, and watch how easy it is to see why God accepted Abel's but not Cain's. Remember, firstborn and first fruits belong to God, all right? Watch it, Genesis 4, verse 3. And in the process of time, in the process of time, in other words, over time, it came to pass, it just kind of happened, that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Notice it does not say first fruits. In the process of time, just whenever Cain wanted to, it just kind of happened that he brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord, not first fruits. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. He didn't just respect his offering, he respected him. But he did not respect Cain and his offering. Is that clear? By the way, this is 2,500 years before the law. You want to explain that one to me? 2,500 years before the law, and the principle of the firstborn and first fruits was already enacted by God. Already. It's right there. Cain, here's another way to say it. And here's what Christians have told me. I give as I feel led. Not with the tithe, you don't. Because that means that you think that money is yours. It is the Lord's. It belongs to him. It's set apart. It's consecrated to him. We've already read that. You return it to the house of God. You bring it to the house of God. You don't give it to God. You bring it to the house of God. You return it to him. And so here's really what Cain did. He gave what he wanted when he wanted, or as he felt led. Abel brought the firstborn. Now, it's not just, let me go into a little theology for you, if you don't mind, okay? It's not just that God would not accept Cain's offering. It's that God could not. There are some things that God cannot do. And I know everyone says, well, he's God, he can do anything he wants. No, he can't. He can never act outside of his character. For instance, God can't sin. God can't lie. He can't, because he is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. I am the truth. So he can't lie. There are things God can't do. God can never be second. He can't. This is called the preeminence of God. One of the best studies is to study the attributes of God. He's preeminent. That means he's first of all, higher than all, before all, and above all. So he can never be second. So when Abel brought a first offering, God said, I can accept that. When Cain did not bring a first offering, God said, I can't accept that. Can you imagine bringing God's second best? He's not going to accept it. All right, so here's the third one, the principle of the first 10%. This is all through Scripture. The reason it's first is if it belongs to God, it has to be first. We saw the firstborn belonged to God. We saw the first fruits belonged to God. They were consecrated for the house of God. All right, here's the tithe, the first 10% of your increase. Watch this. Very simple. It's going to be very clear. It belongs to God. Leviticus 27:30, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. Belongs to God. It is holy, which again means set apart to the Lord. Now, I have to show you something about the tithe. Remember I told you last week that the tithe could be more personal to Jesus than what you think? It also might be more personal to the Father than what you think, because it represents Jesus. All right, so we talked about the firstborn belongs to God. Colossians 1:15, he, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. All right, we talked about first fruits, 1 Corinthians 15:20, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Okay, you want me to tell you something really incredible? Jesus is God's tithe. You want to know why? Because you give the tithe first. You don't wait to see if you have enough after paying your bills. You don't wait to see if your sheep has 10 lambs. You give the first one. Okay. God gave Jesus before we straightened up. God gave Jesus while we were spitting on him, mocking him, scourging him, and nailing him to a cross. And you will see the scripture, Romans 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And Romans also tells us that God gave Jesus in hope, and that's the same root word for faith, in hope that we would accept him. See, this whole tithing thing is a whole lot more personal to God. All right, so how does this work out, the first 10%? So I'm going to have to give you a math illustration, okay? So you have 10 $100 bills in your hand, and the tithe is 1/10, okay? So two questions. First of all, how much is the tithe? $100. It's funny to watch some of your faces. All right, and that's okay, because you're good in subjects I'm not good in, okay? All right, so, all right. But it's $100, okay? But here's the second question. Which one is the tithe? Well, yes, we're saying the first one because we're talking about a message about the first. But how do you know which one's the first one? Listen, it's the first one to leave your hand. In other words, if you go home and you say, let me set aside some for the mortgage, let me set aside some for the car, let me set aside some for clothes and food, and here's God's portion. That's not God's portion. You gave God's portion to the mortgage company. And the mortgage company does not have the power to bless your finances. But God does. And what a lot of people do is say, here's some for this, here's some for this, here's some for this. And then they say, oh no, there's not enough left over for God. Can I just let you know, he wouldn't accept it anyway. And he couldn't accept it. Because he's first. Okay, so let me read you one more passage and then we're finished. Remember back at Exodus 13, we talked about this principle of the firstborn. We stopped at verse 13. Verse 14 says, so it shall be when your son asks you in time to come, saying, what is this? In other words, one day your son's going to get old enough to want to know why you're killing these lambs. That you shall say to him, here's your answer, by strength of hand, one version says, by a mighty hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And it came to pass when Pharaoh was stubborn about letting us go, that the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beasts. Therefore, this is the reason I sacrifice to the Lord all males that open the womb, but all the firstborn of my sons I redeem. Okay, so here's what he explained to him. Here's how you tell your children why you do this. One day your son's going to say to you, you know, Dad, you told me, asked me to take over the books. And Dad, you might not even know you do this. You know, we all have blind spots. But what I noticed was when I was looking over the books that every time one of our animals has a firstborn, you, how shall I say this, kill it. And I was just wondering, you killed 72 animals last year, and we're in the ranching business. So I was just wondering why you were doing that. And God said, you say to your son, son, it's time for you to know. There's something about our family that you don't know. We were not always ranchers. We didn't own any animals. We didn't even own land. Son, we were enslaved people. But God, with a mighty hand, redeemed us and gave us all that we have now. Therefore, we gladly give to God the first of all of our increase. Now, this was written 3,500 years ago. I had this happen with Josh, my oldest, my firstborn, and with James. Both of them this happened to. And then I taught Elaine about it one day. I called her in to teach her this. But one day, Josh walks into my office. And here's what I used to do years ago. And so he was just a young man, like 9, 10 years old. I would write the tithe check and set it over to the side. And then I would pay all the bills. But I'd always write the tithe check first and then take it to church on that Sunday. So anyway, so the tithe check is sitting over here and I'm paying the bills. And Josh came in and he saw it and he said, Dad, why are you giving so much money to the church? And I took my son and I did it with James as well. And I put him in my lap and I said, son, it's time for you to know something about our family that you don't know. But Daddy wasn't always a Christian. And your daddy used to be a very, very bad man. And I couldn't stop being bad. But God, with a mighty hand, redeemed your daddy and gave him everything that we have now. Therefore, I gladly give to God the first of all of my increase.
We want you to take a moment to think about what Pastor Robert shared today and really listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. If you would like to receive our special offer this week, submit a prayer request, or check out any of Pastor Robert's other messages, books, study guides, or other useful resources, visit us at PastorRobert.com or give us a call at 833-933-WORD. Again, that's 833-933-9673. Also, be sure to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter so we can be a part of your community. Thank you again for supporting this ministry. We are so glad you chose to listen in with us today and hear God's word. Be sure to tune in again with us next time. Have a great day.